Joining us on the telephone to talk about the reports is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Dave.
On first blush, Mike, it appears that wheat had the strongest bullish story to tell.
Yeah, and I think the extent of the central China flooding has finally started to show up in today's report. And I think that, along with the question mark about the ridge and the high pressure setting itself up this weekend, and that going back and forth in the trade, are probably the two things in the post-report environment, Dave, that are underpinning us right now. But you're right. When we saw the Chinese wheat imports increase from 3.5 to 8.5 million tons, and that the USDA pushed our wheat exports up about 2.7 million tons, probably the majority of that going to China, those numbers versus last month. And then we also saw USDA take China's corn production down 1 million tons. I think that, along with the ridge threat, probably brought the market back into a more of an underpinning and thinking more about the demand side of the equation, and maybe not looking at the negative supply side of the equation as much as we've been used to in the recent reports.
And it also did it, I think, looking at the U.S. numbers a little bit, because we did see an increase in yield per harvested acre of 6.6 bushels to the acre, and yet the ending stocks went down.
That's right. And again, that is on an increase on exports. And I think this is where globally now, and I don't want to spend too much on wheat, but it's a big thing because globally now we have world wheat stocks down over 1% versus last year. All of this calendar year, the USDA, the FAO, many of the Canadian and European private and government forecasters have been talking about 3, 5, maybe even 7% more ending stocks than we had last year in global wheat stocks and ending stocks. So that's off the table now after today's report, and I think that naturally brings back some support to the corn market, especially in light of the fact that the USDA did not raise yield and did not even approach close to that 160 level. And so I think you got a really nice report in the feed grains. The real question mark and the real potential problem with the market, and the one that could probably see the bottom fall out of it if we don't see the high ridge of pressure develop this weekend and early next week, is probably the beans. When they took the U.S. ending stocks from 265 to 295, that could show an over 300 million bushel carryover in next month's report, depending on what that resurvey of bean acres shows.
Yeah, they found 700,000 additional harvested acres.
Yes, they did, and they continue to promote, you know, no increase in demand at this point. And, you know, many of us are thinking, well, if China is slowing down and going from a 7.5% GDP down to a 6% GDP, we may be, in terms of laying out the future demand, maybe setting ourselves up for a little bit of a slower demand base. But the trade's not really looking at right now, I don't think. I think, again, they're really stepping back and saying something bigger than what we had estimated is happening in central China with their wet weather, and the USDA numbers are reflecting that today.
And looking at how the trade has shrugged that off and the numbers that we're seeing across the screen, you have to see how the market closes today and what follow through tomorrow. It does appear that the market is not inclined to really go lower maybe over the next couple of weeks.
I think this is one of those perfect environments for the high-frequency traders, and therefore I think the technicals are very, very useful here at this stage today. That's what I'm, you know, counseling the clients that I work with on, is you've got the dollar that has shifted dramatically in the last 24 hours after the Federal Reserve FOMC minutes. You've seen a substantial percentage loss in the dollar. You've got a report that you could look at it either way, more or less, and it's not outright bearish. So I think the technicals and the high-frequency traders kind of go hand-in-hand. And so that 510 level in December corn, that 1270, 1275 level in November beans, those are levels that you would want to stay above after today's report going into tomorrow's close, in my opinion. If you don't stay above that level, I'd be pursuing the bean hedges pretty aggressively, both cash and paper hedges, still being respectful of the potential ridge, but doing more cash in bean sales than I would in the corn sales. In fact, I'm still going to recommend sticking with just paper-only hedges in corn, because the basis, in my opinion, just doesn't justify letting any kind of cash positions go here for new crop after today's numbers.
I would think you wouldn't want to re-own at this point either, corn.
Yeah, this is where the corn is. You've got the wheat bottom probably in place now, and so that makes the corn look a lot better. But I'm going to say no to the wheat to the corn re-ownership at this point, except for feeders, which I did that earlier this week. I'm going to say no to the corn re-ownership just because I'm worried about a potential break in the beans and the high-frequency traders kind of attacking everything instead of just picking and choosing. But if you're a spread trader, I think today's report would say the time to buy beans and sell feed grains is probably now past because you actually saw the numbers, the fundamentals, and the supplies go the other way. I was interested to see at the end of the day, the world oilseed ending stocks went up 1% versus last month. We're now running about 18% higher in world ending stocks for oilseeds, about 10% higher in vegetable oils versus last year for ending stocks globally. So we got to keep those numbers in mind, too, I think.
And I would think that given the numbers we saw on harvested acres and planted acres for soybeans, puts additional emphasis on that resurvey that we have coming up next month.
That's right. If you would even gain another million acres of harvested acres, you'd go over that psychological 300 million bushel carryover level in the 13, 14 beans, and you got to really ask yourself, is that justify the $13 level in November, or should we be closer to USDA's average price of $10.75, which they kept unchanged today?
We've had some nice weekly and monthly closes and the monthly chart so far this month showing some strength. Do you think that follows through to the end of the month or not?
I do in the wheat. I mean, we've seen the structure of the wheat change along with before today's report. We've got an inverse market again. July wheat's now premium to September in both Kansas City and Chicago, and it has been for quite some time in Minneapolis. That usually says the demand structure is improving to the point where supply is falling faster than demand, or the demand is rising faster than supply. So I think this weekly and monthly chart for the wheat would be very, very healthy as we go into the end of the month. Beans, I'm not so sure because, again, it's been bought against the feed grains for the last several months. And corn would be the coin toss. Does it follow the beans or does it try and follow the wheat and try and follow the cash market? And that's where I'm going to split the difference and say, okay, let's be more aggressive on bean sales in the cash side. Let's be patient on the corn sales and keep our puts.
I do know one thing, that coin is not going to end up on its edge, probably. Thank
you
so much,
Mike. You never have that with the government report, do you?
No. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana.